Good morning, welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the 16th parak of Shmuel Aleph, and here's what lays ahead of us. We know at this point in time that Shmuel has been rejected from his monarchy. He, in two instances, did not listen to the explicit words of Shmuel, and hence, in the second case at least, Hashem very clearly. And he knows that he's going to be replaced. So here's how it happens. In Perak Tes Zayin, Hashem says to Shmuel, listen, you're going to go, and you're going to anoint a new king for me. You're going to go to Beis Lechem, to Bethlehem, and find Yishai, who's a great man in Israel, and one of his sons is going to be a king. It is interesting to note that in his language he says, "Amasai atamisabel el Shaul." Till when are you going to be mourning over Shaul? It's important to remember that Shmuel and Shaul are very much connected. He loved Shaul. Shaul was his prodigy. And Shaul did not come through. So there's a terrible element of suffering that Shmuel's going through as he does this. Nonetheless, Shmuel's retort to this is, if I go, I'm going to be killed. This is essentially rebelling against the king. Because here I'm going to anoint another king in the face of the king. Hashem says, don't worry. What you'll do is that you will take some eglas bakar. You're going to take, you know, a young calf, and you're going to say that you're going to do a sacrifice, then you're going to call Yishai for a sacrifice, and then I'm going to give you instructions there. Okay, he goes off to Beis Lechem, he finds Yishai, and everybody comes out to meet him, he brings the sacrifice, and he goes to Yishai, and he says, he says, bring out your sons. And the first son who comes out, his eldest, is Eliyav. And Shmuel, immediately upon seeing Eliyav, says, Ach neged Hashem Mishichoi. And he says, this is the Messiah, the anointed one of God. And Hashem says to him, Shmuel, Al tabet amareo val goivai komasai kimastil. Don't look at his height. Don't look at his prowess. Because I've rejected him. I hate him. You look at the outside, I look at the inside, this is not the king. And so what happens is the next son comes in front of him, Avinodav. And Shmuel thinks maybe it's him, and Hashem says, no. He whispers in his ear, this is not him. And all of his seven sons are brought out, and not one of them does God acquiesce to. And Shmuel says, is there anybody else? There are no other sons? They said, oh yeah, well there is this other one, and he's in the field, so he says, bring him to me. And this is this young red-headed boy. He was Admonim Yafei, and I'm red with these beautiful eyes and Tovri and a good of appearance. And they bring him in, and Hashem says, "Kum Moshcheo ki Zehu." This is the one. This is the king. So Shmuel takes the oil. He anoints him symbolically, and the Ruach Hashem arrives on David's head. And Shmuel leaves and goes back to Ramah. It is interesting to note, as opposed to when he anointed Shaul HaMelech, where he kissed him and there was a clear endearment between the two of them, here really in a certain sense he just leaves him. It's almost so painful he can't really make that connection. They don't have any interaction till much, much later in the whole system. In the meantime, what happens is as David HaMelech receives this Ruach Hashem, the Spirit of God, we're told that Shaul HaMelech loses his Spirit of God. There's this equilibrium which has been broken now. Shaul HaMelech now has this Ruach Ra in its place. Apparently when he had this Ruach Elohim on him, he was enlightened. When it went away, it wasn't just back to neutral, it was now negative. There was this dark cloud over Shaul. And because of this, he said, his servants suggested that he should find a Ish Menagein Bechinor, someone who could play the harp, and this could help Shaul's state, his spiritual spiritually dark state. So he says, okay. And in the meantime, one of his servants says, there is this young man who is, you know, has all the great approbations. Yodan again, he knows how to play. Gibor Chayil, he's strong. Vish Melchamai, he's a person of war. Navon Davar, he understands things. Ish Toar, he's a man of good appearance. Vashemimah, and God is with him. So like really, you know, the greatest resume you can expect. And he sends for David, and David comes in as a musician to Shaul's court. And we hear the most glowing terms at the end of this parak. Shaul loves him greatly. Say Caleb, and he makes him his arms bearer, and Shaul sends to Yishai, and he says, "Let David stay with me because he found favor in my eyes." And whenever whenever his spirits went low, whenever the darkness appeared again, David would play, and the bad spirits would leave him. This ruach ra would leave him. And it's ironic because he doesn't realize that the reason why I left him was because it was now on David. Very ironic, but nonetheless, this is the end of the perek. A few things to consider in this perek over here. One, just a philosophical question, and that is that Shmuel in the beginning hesitates to go out and anoint David because he is scared that Shaul will kill him. First of all, this is interesting because the first time that Shmuel is scared of Shaul, Shmuel exerts a huge amount of power and control over Shaul. And it's interesting, this is the first time that he realizes that he's putting himself in danger because of Shaul's insecurity over here. But why is that? Meaning, isn't in the end of the day, isn't it, wouldn't he be protected? He's a shliach mitzvah. God told him to do something, so do it. Don't worry. So the Radak says, well, yes, according to the Gemara in Chulin, which appears in Psachim as well, which is an important rule, shluchei mitzvah and nizakim, that people who do mitzvahs are not hurt. However, in umakom shchiyah chezeka, when you put yourself in extreme danger, then that rule does not hold. And this is an example the Gemara gives of Shmuel, who feels that this is extreme danger, this is beyond, this is putting oneself on the railway tracks if one were to officially and overtly go and anoint another king. The Radak does entertain another possibility, which is interesting, and that is that because he questioned God, then God says to him, ah, publicly go. You question if you're going to be protected now, go publicly, and everybody will see you go, and let's see if you get hurt. Meaning to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a certain sense, tells Shmuel, he was wrong in making that question. Another option, different to that, to the Gemara. When we come to Eliyahu, it's interesting that Shmuel, this is the only time that Shmuel ever makes a mistake in a prophecy in the recorded life that we have. There's only one time where he mistakenly thinks something which really wasn't, and that is thinking that Eliyahu, the oldest son of Yishai, is in fact the Messiah. Why is this? It's interesting that maybe he exerted too much power when anointing Shaul, and over here, this is where he makes a mistake when anointing David. He's less seen, less higher on this platform in terms of the David Shmuel relationship. That's one thing to bear in mind, which is interesting. A friend of mine, Rav Menachem Rosenbaum from Chicago, mentioned this to me. Very interesting point. But if you go take it even a little bit further, when he looks at Eliyahu, he hates him. Hashem says, "I hate him. You don't see. You only see the outside. I see the inside." But what did Eliyahu do? Like, what was bad about Eliyahu? So the Rashi points out, well, yes, if you actually read the next parak, you'll see that Eliyahu later on gets angry with David. So meaning to say, he had an anger problem, which Hashem says is, look, Shmuel, you don't know that yet. But I know that he's going to have an anger problem. He's not the one for the king. That's on a simple level if we read Tanakh holistically. The Radak says something just so profoundly psychological, and that is that Shmuel is, in a certain sense, trapped in a certain perception of who a king should be. Eliyahu is not the person Hashem despised. It's Shaul who Hashem has despised. When Shmuel sees this strong, tall-looking man whose name is Eliyahu, he sees, in a certain sense, a carbon copy of the Shaul he anointed. And Hashem says, don't see kings in the mold of Shaul because you're only looking on the external appearance, the tallness, the power. That's not who the king is. It's going to be this small, red-headed boy who doesn't look like a king who's going to be one. Because Shmuel's projecting, and that's why Hashem is educating Shmuel in this particular instance. One or two other just things to notice over here, perhaps we'll end with this, is that the end of the Perek ends almost in an idyllic moment. There's a beautiful Pirush called Oz Melech by Yigal Ariel on Tanakh, and he says in here at the closing of this chapter, most beautiful point, that this was the moment where it really could have happened. It could have been that the Shaul HaMelech in love, in respect, in mutual appreciation, would have brought David HaMelech into his house and created his scion, essentially David HaMelech as the king. This is the moment where it could have been. It could have been, Rochel v'Leah shebonu b'shteihem as Beis Hashem, that together the two families, the family of Rochel and the family of Leah, built the house of Hashem. It was not to be. Shaul could not stand this type of continuum. And unfortunately, we leave this idyllic moment as things turn south. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.